Welcome to Faith Consciousness Radio, where we explore the evolution of human consciousness and how we can begin to align with God's intelligence, guiding our lives. Hi again, it's Dr. Leslie, your host, and today we're going to be doing some extra adventures. I know you didn't expect it. We are going to continue, as we spoke last week, of moving through the understanding of the three eras of human consciousness evolution. And today we're going to branch into what does that understanding look like in day-to-day life? So what does it mean when we're expressing a certain level of consciousness as we live, as we do, as we're navigating life, and sometimes it takes us where we didn't expect to go. And we're going to be talking about that today. What happens, and how does consciousness move? What is possible when life throws you a curveball? That's right. We're going to talk about not just how everything goes when it's predictable, but when you thought things were going a certain way and then life took a dramatic turn. Do we have to stay in that first level of life happens to me or life happens at me? Are we able to access something higher that says, okay, there's a cause for this, there's a purpose for this, there's a silver lining in that cloud, there's a gift behind it, or are we even able to reach higher and say, I am gliding, I am riding this wave, I am the surfer of life, and in my consciousness, I am knowing that all is well, and I am participating with this creation. There's no victimization here. So as we move into that exploration, I'm going to introduce today's guest. She's experienced a profound awakening through a life-threatening fall. I mean, something that I've never met anyone who has experienced anything like it before. And my new friend and guest today on today's show is Shayna Jay. Shayna, welcome, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much. I'm very, very grateful. It's been a while since I've done a show, and I'm so grateful to have met you and experienced your wonderful work. And now we're here. Who knows what's going to be in store for us as friends later?
Yes, exactly. So I will let our audience know, friends. Shayna and I met over the weekend. I let you know that we were holding that event. Myself and Dina Baker. You remember that guided meditation that we do with her beautiful, divinely channeled sound that comes through, just like heaven's gates opened and caused the sound to come through this woman. And so she and I held together the event called Soul, Sound, and Spine this past Sunday at Heartlight of Charlotte. And it went so well, we're going to do it again. Mm. So we'll tell you more about that later. But Shayna was a part of that experience, and we got to know each other a little bit through that workshop, through that event, and then found out a lot of things that we have in common. And when she shared with me this incredible event that took place in her life, I said, you must come on my radio show. I knew this was a God-designed encounter and that I needed to follow. And so, friends, remember, as you lead the guided life, that's how it starts to show up. When you're flowing in faith consciousness, you will have synchronicities. You will have unexpected encounters that just bless your life, and you'll know that it's from that heavenly realm immediately. It'll feel like something just landed that you were always waiting for and didn't know it.
Yeah, actually, your mind doesn't track what happens any longer. Right. Your mind stops tracking, and your heart is just in the knowing of what you're receiving is part of your consciousness.
Wow. Isn't that the truth? Mm-hmm. Now, if we could just keep our minds in line like that, though, yeah. I mean, I honestly.
It takes work, and it takes dedication and a lot of love. But after a while, you find that the love isn't about outside of you. Loving God is not enough. You have to love yourself really deeply and know that God dwells within you and is guiding you. So vibrationally, you totally change. Everything changes when you're thinking that way and your thoughts are designed that way. Your life shows up that way in according to the level that you're at. And then you don't have to track, like I said, your outcomes. You just look and see. I say every day, what am I receiving today? And thank you so much for whatever it is.
I love that. So in you saying what you just did, and you're talking about kind of that frequency being within you and emanating out, I just have to reflect back for a moment. Last week's show, we were talking all about this incredible, beautiful woman who was a friend of my mother's who had recently passed. Mm. And she was weeks away from her 100th birthday. Mm. So she was essentially a centurion. Mm. And at her funeral, we had a birthday cake that said, Happy 100th birthday, Joyce. Oh, so in fact, so because they held it on her birthday. Mm. Okay. And I was blessed to conduct a part of that service. And that invitation happened because when I brought my mother to visit with Ms. Joyce as she was in hospice, you know, in her apartment at the retirement center. And by the way, I mean, I have pictures of us with her in December, and she was just fully present, active, doing her walks and everything. It was like a beautiful, gifted way to depart kind of quickly, easily.
Yeah.
Well, we went to visit her, and she was illuminated. There was light pouring from her face, and she had this huge, joyous smile the whole time. And where I'm thinking we're going to kind of comfort and bring ease to the dying person, quote, dying.
And she gave it to you
instead. Yes. She was pouring out her love. I mean, she was just flowing. I said this was like a gate from heaven that was open through her like a portal. Mm-hmm. And light was coming through her. I was likening it to the scriptures in Exodus that talk about Moses when he went to the mountaintop and spent 40 days in the presence of God and received the tablets of the Ten Commandments, okay? He came down, and his face was so brilliantly bright that they had to put a mask or like a veil over him because it was blinding people and everybody was terrified, okay? She was glowing like Moses, okay? It was incredible. It was incredible.
Since my fall, a quick story. I was asked several times to be at the side of people who are transitioning into the next world or whatever you want to call it. And each time I was connected with the angels of death that were taking them.
Beautiful. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to hear more of Shana's story about seeing that light. Welcome back. This is Faith Consciousness Radio with Dr. Leslie, where we are exploring human consciousness and what is possible in life. Remember, friends, we're looking at moving through those different ranges from life happens to me to life happens for me, and then ultimately that life can happen through me. And that last state is where we begin to recognize that we're not just experiencing reality, we're participating with it and how it is showing up. When we begin to understand that, we can become intentional. Like we can get behind the steering wheel and begin to align and direct. So we're putting the needle back on the record with today's guest host with me today is Shana Jay. And we were talking about how you had worked with people who were in hospice or they were kind of winding up their lifetime here, getting ready to transition, and you had some encounters.
I have, and I was taken very unknowingly into it. But then after three or four encounters, I started to ask my angels who had been guiding me for about 6 months before the fall, which I'll talk about. I said, why am I being taken to the bedside of people who are ready to go? And they said, because you already know. And so what they did by just that little phrase was awaken that part of me that was able to see that this was a very natural state for me and that I could help give it to other people by eliminating their fear and bringing in peace and bringing in a state of calm and a way for them to really complete whatever their last moments were in breath before they transitioned to the next level of their life. Mm-hmm. And then I started really understanding that there is much more to life than just with the physical body.
Oh, right, yeah. Right. And so I have had some similar experiences to what you're describing. Mm. And when I went in to visit with Miss Joyce and saw this light coming through her and started saying to her, you are going to the most amazing place, like what you're walking into that's already shining through you. Mm-hmm. It's so incredible. And she just smiled at me and said, yes, I know.
That's okay. That's where everybody should be going,
right?
Before they take that last breath.
Yeah.
It's the most incredible, beautiful, awesome place that you could ever be.
Right.
But when you do your work here in the physical body, when you really, really devote yourself to your work and the love that you truly are, you get that. It's a gift.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Well, clearly she had, whether she'd ever had or heard any conversations like what we are speaking right now or not,
she was being it. Yeah, she may not have even known that there was something about a conversation. It just was her natural way.
It's what it was. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, she had an incredible amount of joy and love moving through her. Mm. She was an inspiration to my 90 years young mother, mm-hmm. right? And really, my mother changed because she saw so much life and had a new understanding of what's possible in your upper 90s,
yeah.
Where when she moved in the place, she was thinking she was just winding down and ready to die because of that number, mm-hmm. you know? It's kind of like she just saw examples of more life, and Joyce was one of them.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about how this angel speak started happening with you.
That's exactly what I was going to call my book.
Are you kidding? See? See?
She and I keep doing this.
Friends, we are not making this up, and that was not planned.
It's almost like we've been living dual lives in separate countries
for a while. So angel speak was happening.
About six months leading up
to your big event.
Yes,
okay?
About 6 months before I fell off of a cliff. And I'll tell you that in a minute. The angels just started speaking to me. And at first, of course, my mind was like, oh, what are you kidding me? And who is this? And where are these voices coming from? And what is this? And so I didn't believe it. And I pushed it away a lot until I didn't. And then when I didn't, more started coming in. More and more and more. And really what they were teaching me, it seemed like in my logical brain, it landed like this is the 1, 2, 3 steps, you know, to speaking with your angels, learning about them, allowing them to teach you. And so I just went, okay, should I write a book about this? And they said, yeah, we call it Angel Speak.
Stop! Okay.
And I was just about to write it when
fall. Well, yes, I do want to go into that, but hold on just
okay.
a minute.
Okay.
Hold on just a minute. How did these angel speak encounters first begin? Do you remember when it first started happening? Was there any certain circumstance happening in your life that seemed to make you more ready for something like this? Can I remind our listeners that you guys, the Bible talks about angels being messengers from God and mm-hmm. speaking to people, and even people having dreams where they're spoken mm-hmm. to, mm-hmm. but actually having direct encounters with angels. And I choose—
These are the archangels.
Yeah, okay. I choose to believe that everything that is described there is still available for us today,
mm-hmm.
okay? And so don't discount that it's not possible.
Yeah.
Allow yourself to imbibe in the possibility, mm-hmm, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Allow, because God works in mysterious ways, and let's not limit—
And we'll never stop.
How God can show up, exactly.
Right, just because it's a new age, and things are changing, and there's more technology, and all of that that we're interacting with in our daily lives doesn't mean that the ancient mysteries, the ancient texts, the ancient times are still not working with us. They are.
Right.
In
we're
fact,
standing on the shoulders of what's come before us, aren't we?
That's right.
Well, exactly. I mean, all of us who've engaged with sacred scripts like the Holy Bible are already consciously participating with that which is ancient.
Right.
We're bringing it into our now.
Yeah.
So, you know, my belief and knowing is that this show is actually a bridge to help us do that, to where we're able to bring ancient wisdom mm-hmm. and divine gifts from God and heavenly realms into our modern-day world. And friends, what a better time than now, when so many things are kind of turned upside down and it feels like a lot of turbulence on this planet. It's a great time to expand your mind into being open to more of what's possible.
And to create your world so that you're not at the effect of it.
There.
Keep creating your world as a co-creation with God that you know dwells within you. And even if you don't get to know it better, and if you don't get to know it even better, because that is your salvation. That is the way to show you as a person that you're not alone and that you're always guided and loved deeply. Deeply, so deeply that it fills your whole body with health and vitality and joy and peace. The things that you look for, but you can't create on your own. You have to know it and be it and connect to it inside of you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so we're back to the story. The chapter before the big event, okay, was your 6 months.
There's so much more.
Of angel speak.
Yeah.
Okay, 6 months of angel speak and like ministering to people who were getting ready to be exiting this realm. Their bodies were getting ready to quiet.
Mm-hmm.
So how did that 6 months, looking back, prepare you for what was going to happen?
Well, okay, so the first question you asked me a little bit ago was, you know, what was happening? Why did that come? What I remember is that I had been a Course in Miracles student, self-study, for already 8 to 10 years by then. And that meant that I learned how to meditate, and I learned how to quiet my mind, and I, even though it gets active sometimes, I learned through the teachings in the Course in Miracles, the text that comes from the Old Testament, where am I? Who am I? The questions that you asked at the beginning, so beautiful. And at the end, my prayer was always, when I finished meditating, I will to will thy will. And I meant it. It came from my heart. And at the time, my life was just in such disarray that I really felt like I was begging God to please take over my life. Just give me anything that would be, I know there's something better than what I'm experiencing now. And that's what happened. The angels started coming. I started getting the message to go work with essential oils. So I did that. It just so happens somebody gave me an amazing story. But anyway, it's a longer story. I got involved in essential oils, and they really started healing my body. And
this is before the fall?
Mm-hmm. And then I was working with breath work I don't know if your audience knows Drumvalo Melchizedek, but this is another thing that came. I became a Melchizedek priestess. I was invited at a potluck. You know, this man is coming to initiate priests and priestesses. Who wants to come? And I mean, my hand just shot up, and I don't know how. I'm like, I'm looking at my arm going, why are you doing this? I had no idea, but my ancient wisdom was starting to show up, and I just had to pay attention to it.
Okay, and for you listeners who have no idea what that is, neither do I, and we may learn on this show, or it might be another show.
Yeah.
But so it sounds like there's a lot of activity, a lot of changes taking place leading up to the big fall. Mm-hmm. Friends, stay tuned. We're going to take another little break, and when we come back in, you're going to learn about how a fall can bring you into a rise. Welcome back. This is Faith Consciousness Radio with Dr. Leslie, joined by Shana, and how we can rise from the fall. So, Shana, you were sharing with us about kind of this 6 months of a lot of activity happening in your life. You said that you were just essentially crying out to God, saying, give me more, give me more. You know, I just know there can be more. Mm-hmm. I heard you say, not my will, but thy will, or make them both one, mm-hmm. align me with. That's huge. Mm-hmm. Okay, that is huge. That's like a total surrender.
Of course, I had
surrender.
No idea what I was asking.
Well, do we ever?
But right when you're living in a desperate state, which I've met a lot of people who are, and still, it's like anything could be better than this.
Right.
Please help me. Help me see it. Help me be it.
So can I just highlight mm-hmm. how when life breaks us, when someone said suffering is the fragrance of a flower being crushed.
Oh, wow.
Okay? It's like
appropriate.
Something that sometimes it's only when we feel like we've hit rock bottom mm-hmm. that we're able to let go of everything that we were holding on to, and then allow ourselves to be lifted into something so much more.
Do you know, I'm not sure that I was realizing that I needed to let go of anything. I didn't think that at the time, and I'm quite sure about this in my own programmed mind, that I had no idea that I had to let go of who I was. I had to let go of the way I thought. I had to let go of, you know, my emotional body that was driving me to be so desperate feeling. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that that was part of it.
And I wonder if many of us ever
does.
Do.
I don't
you
think
know,
anybody
we can, when
does.
We're in it, we can't see it that way.
When somebody says let go, I looked at them like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Let go of what?
Right.
You know, well, your traumas, I'm like, you don't know my traumas. Get away from me.
Right.
Don't talk to me about my traumas. That's my private business. Mm-hmm. You know, but now the consciousness has shifted so much that it's in our daily language. If someone is suffering in front of you and you say, sweetie, you can let go of that or just try, they get it right away. And they I can feel them shift in front of me. Their whole body, their whole energy changes. They drop into their heart and they realize, oh, that's just something, some story I'm telling myself.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So
sometimes
yeah.
we need the witness, the mm-hmm. observer of us mm-hmm. to even speak into our own life
yeah.
to realize that we're even hanging on to something that we don't have to.
Yeah.
We can actually turn that thought into a new thought, a different mm-hmm. perspective. We
yeah.
can shift it.
Yeah.
So here you are having this 6 months of angel speak, okay, engaging with people who are getting ready to transition, and then you have your own incredibly severe, life-threatening event take place.
Yeah.
Tell us what happened.
Well, hiking in Sedona, Arizona, where I was living, is a very daily activity. It's like, yeah, let's get out on one of the vortexes. Which one will it be today, you know? And so I was in the Crystal Bookstore. One of the things that I love to do is just shop around, get near the crystals, and feel their energy. And when I saw one of my friends in there, and she was telling me that she wanted to do a very difficult hike. And my husband at the time and I had just done a very difficult hike, which was so wonderful, very elating feeling to do something that's risky, but then be able to conquer it. It's just, what a day, you know? So I said, well, I know this hike and I've done it a couple of times with my ex. He's now my ex. And she said, oh, good, let's do that because I want to train for an even bigger hike, an even more riskier one. Like, great. So we set a time. And living in Sedona, Arizona, I wanted to learn more about the land. And so when we went on this hike, and we, by the way, another friend joined us also quite synchronistically. I didn't reach out for him. It just happened. And so a guy friend and a woman friend, and we decided at the bottom of the hill to make it a silent hike so we could really, really connect with the land and really, you know, just be in tune with whatever we needed for the next part of our growth. And knowing that consciousness is everywhere, you know, we were able to do that. So let me see, going up the hike was there's this one step up that is like a huge, just about 4 feet. So you kind of have to climb up it unless you're really, your legs are really strong and you can take one big 4 foot leap. Mm-hmm. But when you get in there to the top of it, you're like in the womb of the rocks, in the red rocks, and it just is gorgeous, and the feeling is amazing. So from there, you walk on this very skinny ledge with a high wall behind it, and most people crawl on that ledge. And I don't, because I was a dancer, so I sidestep it, and it's just big enough for my feet, you know.
Okay, and you have really good balance.
Yeah,
okay.
And I know my body really well. So
you've done that a number of times.
Yeah, I already done it. Then you crawl over boulders, and you go over these boulders, and then till finally you get to the final peak, and then it's a plateau, and you're at the top of the mountain, and you can see hundreds of miles. You can see all the way down to Phoenix from Sedona. I mean, it is absolutely breathtaking. Cancel that, but it's really, really phenomenal feeling. So we ate lunch, and we also stayed in silence during that. And then we went down. And as we were going down, you know, over the boulders and then to the sidestepping of the thin, skinny ledge, all of a sudden I felt, because I was holding, it looks like you're holding the wall behind you because your hands are out, but you're not holding anything, you know? You're just balancing.
Like walking the tightrope with your arms sticking out to help with the balance.
Exactly, okay. But there is a wall behind. So I felt this rock come out of the wall, so I just isolated my hips forward and took my step. And right as I did that, I think I pressed too much on the limestone sand, you know, it's kind of soft, and edge, and I went over. And when I went over, there was nothing below me, nada. It was just all open. And
how close was anyone else to you?
Well, my girlfriend was right next to me, and my guy friend was ahead of me. So they both had very bird's eye view of what happen. And my first thought was turn around and grab on to the ledge, which I did. But then I saw all my fingernails just breaking off. And, you know, and then I turned around. They said, my friends told me later that I was bouncing off of the walls. And, but I felt that God entered my body.
Okay, 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 let's just understand this for a moment. You turn around, you're clinging to a cliff's edge, the way we see on television where somebody's hanging and your fingernails are popping off, and then you fall?
I wasn't even hanging.
Okay.
I was trying to hang. I felt if I could grab on and it would hold me, I could get myself back up.
But that didn't happen.
No, it just...
So you were in a free fall.
Yeah. Gravity took over.
Okay. Can you remember what you felt or thought as soon as you started falling through the air?
So you might say that what we were talking about letting go, that's when letting go happened. I surrendered to the experience of what was going to happen. And I had no idea what that was going to be. But I was free falling 50 feet. And as I was falling, I remember my body shifting energy. And I felt, I just knew God was in my body. Now God is in my body.
You felt God in your body.
Yeah, because it wasn't my body any longer. It was so different and so unusual and so light and energetic. And I'm like...
Did you think about death or about hitting the rocks at the bottom or what might happen next?
No. I didn't think about
anything. You're just falling 50 feet through the air.
Well, it took only 4 seconds, so you don't
really... Yeah, but
really...
4 seconds in that moment could be like an eternity. You know how it slows down? This is incredible.
It did slow down, but it was 4 seconds.
Friends, stay tuned. We'll be right back to continue the story, The Fall into the Rise. Welcome back. This is Faith Consciousness Radio with Dr. Leslie and Shana J, who has taken the fall into the rise.
I love the way you said that. That's great.
Okay. So, all right, Shana, you are falling 50 feet from the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
You tried to grab and cling to the cliff, but fingernails popped off and there was no clinging anywhere, nothing to grab onto. And then you said you let go. You felt yourself release, and you felt God was inside your body.
If I could say that I had a thought during that time, it was my prayer, I will to will thy will. So whatever your will is in this moment, I accept that. And that's total surrender. I didn't know that until after. But see, I've had some time to piece this together. And not just to tell a story, but to really bring out the truth of how our lives are a metaphor for what God's creation through us is. What our destiny is God living in our body, and then we co-create our life.
You just described what faith consciousness is.
Yeah.
That faith where we... release our limitation and our absolute need and demand to believe in what we can see, touch, feel, and hear physically, and allow ourselves to commit to something that's invisible, that isn't showing us proof in this 3D world, and that And there you are, falling through the air 50 feet with nothing to hold on to.
Yeah.
Friends, sometimes moving into faith can feel like that, like I'm falling, especially when we choose to say, you know what, I'm willing to take a risk. I'm willing to take a chance. I'm willing to believe in that which I see no proof of right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to be with this moment when there's nothing for me to hold on to and nothing supporting me that my eyes and my body can confirm to me. And then essentially what I'm hearing from Shana is God emerged through me, or maybe I just realized that God was there.
God's the power.
Was filling me.
Uh-huh. God is the engine. God is the vitality. God is the peace. God is everything.
Okay.
And it lives inside your body. So I'll just go a little bit further. We'll skip the rescue part. And how in the hospital, amazing things happened. Like, so this is miracles.
Were you unconscious?
I was in and out of consciousness.
Okay. So once you hit at the bottom of a 50-foot drop, friends, 50-foot drop, mm-hmm. you and your friend said you bounced off rocks a number of times.
I had a bunch of broken bones.
Okay. So go ahead. You were in the hospital.
They rescued me with a helicopter, which is almost nearly impossible to do because I was on in the mountains, but they did it. And I get into the, I remember in and out of consciousness, the doctor said to me that I was going into surgery to repair my multifractured arm and shoulder. And I said, well, I want to talk to the team before they start. And I'm like, wait a minute, who said that?
You said that?
So in my life before, I was always afraid of authority people, people who had degrees or people who knew more than me or, you know, people who were made a lot of money or whatever you want to. I was afraid of authority. In that, this is how I changed so much. I started speaking like I had never heard that those things come out of my mouth. I want to talk to the team. I want to tell them who I am. I want to tell them that they're all my angels taking care of me right now. You know what?
Did you do that?
No.
Okay. He didn't. But you wanted to. Okay.
But that was my intention.
Okay.
So my life became a very intentional. But again, I didn't know that. It just started happening through me.
So your personality changed after this fall?
Yeah.
How would people who knew you before and then after the fall, how do they describe that change? People observing Shayna.
You know, I don't recall anyone ever telling me that they
noticed anything different.
No. Yeah.
You just noticed it.
Right.
Was it just about how you felt or how you behaved?
It was everything. It was everything. It was like there was a full consciousness shift in my brain and the way I functioned in the world. And gratitude became so one of the biggest things because I had never embraced gratitude until I fell and realized, you know, God gave me a second chance. I was 47 when I fell. I'm 76 now. And I love telling this story because it's a story of hope and faith mm-hmm. and surrender and knowing that there isn't anything outside of you. It all is about you inside.
God is in you now.
It's all about you. So very quickly, when I was in the hospital, after my first surgery, they said they scheduled me for a second surgery. And the nurse came into my room and said, was changing IVs and whatever. And I said, why am I so groggy? And she said, well, you're on morphine. And I said, why am I on morphine? You know, like that didn't fit where I was. And she said, well, because you're in excruciating pain. And I just looked at her like, I'm not in excruciating pain. And then she said, of course, the obvious, well, that's because you're on the morphine. And I said, no, I want to be taken off the morphine. So what I actually experienced was I saw this translucent bubble completely filling my room coming from my body. And I played with the morphine. I said, show me this morphine in my own imagination mind. And I saw this ball about the size of a basketball. And it was dense and dark. And I said, is this the morphine? And it said yes to me. And so I said, well, I don't need you. You can disappear now. And it disappeared into the God bubble, the translucent God space. And so I asked for the nurse to get the doctor to take me off the morphine. She said, he's on call. We don't know where he is. And I said, well, he's in the hospital. He's here somewhere. And she's like, no, he's on call. And I said, well, just call him. I knew he was. Why did I know? Now, about a year later in meditation, I asked, why did I know that the doctor was in the hospital? And the answer came because his energy was mixed with my energy when he was in my arm, repairing my arm.
Okay, so you kind of had an energetic connection.
It's
like quantum entanglement.
Everybody has that energetic.
Where someone else, but especially when he's already entered your body through surgery.
And
right?
And everybody has that. You mm-hmm. have that kind of connection with all of your relatives, with all of your spouses, all of your children, all of your best friends, the people you care about the most. And at that moment, I cared about this doctor because he was taking care of me. So I found him. And later when he came to my room, I said, so were you in the hospital? And he said, yes.
Uh-huh.
I scanned the hospital somehow. I was learning these tools, you know, how to use. So I scanned the hospital and there he was. So he took me off the morphine. It was just phenomenal.
And then what?
And I was 3 days in the hospital. And the bottom line is they started calling me a miracle woman because my body, entire body healed in 4 weeks, not 8.
And you had no pain after they took you off the morphine?
I had 22 broken bones, no pain, never took a pain medication. I had no bruising, no scarring. And 4 months later, the metal was taken out of my arm because the screws had been unscrewed. They came undone.
What?
And I saw
your body was pushing
and
twisting those screws out?
And I saw it on an x-ray, and that's what made the doctor agree to take them out. So
that is fascinating.
So
I was prompted to a scripture as you were sharing,
okay.
And it's John 14:10. It starts with, don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority.
Mm.
Okay, I'm going to say that again. The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. This is Jesus Christ speaking here. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work.
Mm-hmm.
Just as you said, during that fall, you came to the awareness that God was within you.
Yeah.
He's saying, these words are not coming from me. God's speaking through me. And that's really what you were saying when you said, let me talk to the team.
Right? Well, it's my prayer every morning now. You know, when I meditate, I end my prayer, and sometimes I begin my prayer with all of the words I say, may they come from you and not from me.
Oh.
And so today, what I'm doing with Dr. Leslie is the answer to that prayer. I did not organize this. We did not go after each other. We did not seek each other. It happened.
It did. It did. So beautiful. And so, friends, this is what we're talking about, the guided life will bring you into a place where you are like that surfer on top of the wave being carried, and you will move into a place where you can just navigate and feel that life is flowing through you. God's hand is moving it. And we're in that era now where more is possible than ever before. We're able to reach heights that we were not able to access before. Shane, I want to thank you so much for being with us today and for sharing the beautiful story of what changed your life so powerfully and has caused you to minister to others even throughout. Friends, I want to remind you that you are never alone. You are worthy. You are loved, and all is well. Walk sacred. This is Dr. Leslie.